I have done some of them like by myself and with other with Kimodo and Teraguchi. And the motivate, so I will start with some introduction, but the motivation part is the most difficult part for me. We had here I listed several big questions in string theory which we want to know. And for example, we want to. We want to put it darker, right? I don't know how to do it. Can we make it darker?
Yeah.
You cannot see the green.
Oh, okay.
Wow. Yeah, thank you very much. Okay, so so here I have this several questions we want to know in string theory. And for example, we want to calculate the multi-loop amplitude. And we want to know what kind of string bacteria we have, and we want to analyze the non-perturbative degree of freedom in it. And so far, the theory I will tell you from now hasn't helped so much in understanding this question. But we still hope that one day we will have a good formulation to start with one formulation and analyze all of these questions just with one formulation. So we are looking for this one good formulation. And so far there are two formulations for the DICOM computation of type 2D string theory. And one of them is the DICOM string phase theory. And I usually abbreviate as LCSFT. And the other one is the matrix string theory, and abbreviated as MST. And both of, as I tell you in more detail, both of them, for both of them, the three parts are identical. And they are identically the Grimshaw string in the DICOM image. And if you go to the first order interaction term, and if you look at the DICOM string field theory, for the DICOM string field theory, the first order interaction term is read down as the interaction vertex, and that is explicitly expressed in oscillators. And it is very complicated. On the other hand, if we go to the matrix string theory and we look at the formal, for the matrix string theory, the first order interaction is written in terms of some very formal operator, and it is very simple. But since it's just formal, it's that we have we know this operator should satisfy some OPEs, but that is very formal. And for higher order terms, we still know there are some proposals, but yeah, I think it is fair to say we don't understand it yet. So on one side, it is explicit but complicated. On the other hand, this side, it is simple but very formal. So we might hope that if we know a relation between them, then one formulation can complement the other. Or maybe more, that will give us some information about higher order interaction term. And so this is, if that is possible, that's very good. And also we have to see this kind of correspondence, this is in some sense string gate theory correspondence. It is not in the usual sense, but the starting point, so in the DICOM string field theory, everything is written explicitly in the oscillator, so it is very stringy-like. And but in the matrix string theory, everything originally is just matrix, so it is gate theory-like. So in some sense, it is it's not the usual sense, but in some sense, is we can call it string gate theory correspondence. And the basic question I want to pose here is that can OPEs in matrix string theory realized by the interaction vertex in platform string theory? As I told you, in matrix string theory, the interaction term is written down by some formal operator satisfying several OPEs. And that's what here in everything is written down by explicit interaction vertex. So if we can use this interaction vertex to realize this OPE, then that is very good. So I want to do that for you today. And one of my collaborator already has a paper, and that's a good sign of this correspondence. And according to Shimoto, Matsuo, and Watanabe, there are some specialists in light-form string theory, and they use the photonic light-form string theory, and they calculate it in a bit different context. But they found that this kind of diagram, when you take intermediate time t to be small, then it gives you a contribution like 1 over t to the 6. So our matrix string interpretation for that is that 6 equals 1 over 16 plus 1 over 16. Times 24 times 2, and that means when we look at the twist wheel OPE, the operator dimension of the twist wheel is 1 over 16 for left-handed and 1 over 16 for right-handed. So we multiply them, and we since we have 24 dimension in the dipole gauge, and still it's OPE, so we have two of them. Then we calculate the dimension, and we find 6. So in this sense, we have a good sign that it should be possible to realize the OPE from the light-form string theory calculation. And I will tell you more details about this fact. Yes. I'm sorry. It's a usual bosonic twin sphere. And yeah, I will tell you more detail from now on. Okay, and my content is here, I just finished the introduction part. So to avoid a situation that I'm relating something unknown to something unknown, I will have to tell you both theory at the beginning. So I start with dipole string theory, and then I tell you matrix string theory. And after that, I will tell you how we realize the supercharges from supercharges in the matrix string theory, just using this correspondence. And then I'll go to our main topics of realizing the OPEs from the OPEs of the matrix string theory from the interaction vertex in the light-form string theory. So here I listed the main reference, and light-form string theory is originally done by Greenstrass, and matrix string theory is Dagraff-Ferlinde, and the 4 and 5 are some of our papers. And since in the OPE section, we need very complicated calculation, so we also have to simplify the light-form string theory make it as simple as possible. So we also have done lots of things in the section two. So I will talk about dipole string field theory in our new formulation. And if you know what the dipole string field theory is, then maybe you can compare the original formulation with our and see how simple it is now. And if you don't know the dipole string field theory, and maybe you can take this chance to study something about dipole string field theory. Okay, so then I will stop. Is there any question so far? So let me start with dipole string field theory. The construction of dipole string field theory, the start point is the green shots seen in the dipole gauge. So typically, we have this kind of option. And here we have several conserved charge. First of all, we have the dipole Hamiltonian, and we also have the supercharge. And besides that, we have a lot of conserved charge, but I want to tell that they basically don't make a big role here, so I just list them down. And this supersymmetric charge and dipole Hamiltonian satisfy this kind of algebra. And if you want to know what the conserved charge looks like, I write it down. The explicit form is here. So for supercharge, we have two kinds of them, and one of them is basically left-handed, and the other one is right-handed. And for the dipole Hamiltonian, it's like a square of this one. So this is the explicit form of the supercharge and the dipole Hamiltonian. So far, so good, but it is only the theory of the free theory. So to make it, to construct a dipole string field theory, we need to introduce the interaction term. The way we introduce the interaction term is we add interaction term to these conserved charges, respecting the supersymmetry algebra. In other words, we rewrite, originally we had Q0, Q0, tilde, H0, but now we add them by Q1, Q1, tilde, H1, and so that the total conserved charge will satisfy the same supersymmetry algebra. This is the way we introduce the interaction term. And the basic ingredient here is the overlapping condition, which means that when string comes in and then goes out, it has they overlap very well at the boundary, and I express that at V123. This 1 2 3 means string 1, string 2, string 3, and to tell you more detail, I have to tell you more detail about this V. So let me start, let me tell you the explicit form of V123. And I start with the particle theory. If we just consider the particle theory, and we consider the phi to the cubic interaction, phi to the cubic interaction here, and this kind of interaction can usually be put in as a two delta function and the integration. Yeah, this is the typical form. And if we have this kind of five cubic representation, we can always do the Fourier transformation here to make phi into phi tilde. And now the here it is coordinate x, but it becomes a momentum p. And then the vertex is written down like here, like this. And here the delta function about the two particle match well becomes here the purely momentum conservation condition. And this is something well known in field theory, but we can also introduce the oscillator representation. That means for this phi tilde of P, we introduce some Dirac representation, and one of them denotes this state, and one of them is the squeeze state for the momentum P. And more explicitly, it is written down like this, P squared P A dagger and A dagger squared, the exponential. And so if we plug this form into this expression, then we will find that here phi tilde will become phi and some squeeze state. And if we do the momentum integration, and it will become exponential oscillator bilinear. And this is the form we want to have. And so the interaction, so the interaction of V123 can be put as this exponential oscillator bilinear. And we call this coefficient N R comma S as a Neumann coefficient. So this is a theory of particles. And to go to the string theory, the thing will become more complicated. In the particle, yes?
Can I
back up a little
bit?
Oh, sure. Yes. Yes. I have to. String. What people talk about string theory is not a string. You write down a theory, but it is basically classical field theory. You don't you introduce a string field phi, but you don't consider the path integral of phi. Or in other words, you consider phi, but you don't consider the conjugate momentum of pi sub phi. You don't consider that one. So in that sense, here it is. I don't do the path integral in the string field theory. So here it is just, as you said, it is just a one particle theory.
Okay.
So the next thing is string theory. In the case of particle theory, it is the momentum conservation here. But for string theory, the situation is more complicated. We have one-dimensional string worksheet, two-dimensional string worksheet. So if we cut down at one point and look at string, it is one-dimensional. So we need a condition that every point of the interaction match well, and this is the condition, and for many places it matches very well, and we have the three conditions to in case sigma is the blue line or sigma is the black line, we have several this side black line or this side black line, we have several conditions. And this kind of condition for general sigma, we can always rewrite it as a Fourier mode. And for Fourier mode, this is a continuous function of sigma, but we can always map the information into the vector of P and as this one. And we also map this overlapping condition into the vectors. So now the overlapping condition is something like this. And here I introduce some matrix A1, A2, and square root C. And C is just, you cannot see it very well, but CNN is some delta, Kronecker delta, delta MN with M in front. And A1, A2 is some Fourier modes of this overlapping. So all the conditions of the one dimension of the function sigma can be mapped into the overlapping of the vector P. So vector P1 and vector P2 are matched with vector P3 in this sense. And this is the momentum representation, and we can do the same thing and go to the oscillator representation. The oscillator representation is here we still have the same thing, but since it's a string theory, that now we have infinite small. So basically, it is the same thing as particle theory, but here we have infinite modes of oscillators. And we can do the same thing of the P integration and make it an exponential oscillator binomial. And we obtain an expression for V vertex here. And here, Neumann coefficient N is written like Kronecker delta with A. I told you A1 and A2, and here I define A3, and I define gamma as the summation of P to from 1 to 3. So this is basically this is what we want for the V overlapping part. And sometimes this is a final expression, but sometimes in the calculation we can write the vertex simpler by combining the incoming and outgoing streams. And if one tool comes in and goes into string one, string two comes in and goes into string three, we can combine everything and write things more simpler like this. Yes.
So if you say B, only the three particles stay inside the whole of your state, a real contributor to the population?
Yes. Yes. And here, string theory is infinite. We consider infinite string states, but we only consider the three string states inside. And let me make a detour here. And since I have introduced many many coefficients, and they might look complicated to you, so let me summarize some of them. And one thing, in the original paper of Green and Schwartz, they have many formula like this. But and they do the residue computation from they do the very hard work of residue computation. But here, if you notice that originally P1, P2 comes in and it combines into P3, then since there's no information change between the incoming and outgoing, so this process should be unitary. And that means this matrix should be unitary. And by demanding this matrix to be unitary, we can write down all the formula we want for the string field theory computation. So if you are good at residue computation, you can follow the Green-Schwartz computation, but you can also just demand it to be unitary and write down all the formula we want. And also, there's a beautiful formula here, and I think this is originally found by Yoneya, and And yeah, if you, I introduce the Neumann coefficients N and R, T, and T, S, and if you sum over T, then it will just come to the Kronecker delta. This is a very beautiful formula. And we will use this formula sometimes in our data, in our computation. So since I have made a long detour, you might miss what I'm saying. So let me review a little bit. I was trying to compute the interaction part. I would try to write down the interaction part of the supersymmetric charge and dipole Hamiltonian. And I told you the basic ingredient is the overlapping condition, and it is represented by V. And this is almost like momentum conservation. So basically, it tells you nothing, but the basic ingredient is this V. And I told you more many things about this interaction V, but I told you many things about interaction with, so you just keep those things in mind. And I told you, I will tell you how this supercharge and dipole Hamiltonian is. The result is they are written as this. And besides the just the V123, here to construct the Q1, 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 H1, I need something more. And since these guys are computed by the momentum conservation, so when I introduce something, I don't like to break the momentum conservation. So I introduce some z bar y, and which commute with the momentum conservation. And I write the q tilde h1 like this. And here S, S tilde, V are very complicated formula. I will show you later. And the interpretation of this Z, Z bar, and Y is as follows. When you have the, here you consider P plus X prime, and you have, since P is like X with P derivative, and if you consider P plus X prime, it's just a holomorphic part of the momentum. And you consider this one, and it is a function of sigma. And you act this operator on the string interaction vertex. Then everywhere it is fine, but at the interaction point, at the middle, at the point two string joined to one, there we have the singularity, and if you renormalize this singularity, then the rest is just z1. And the same, so zi can be interpreted as a holomorphic part of bosonic momentum, and which is renormalized at the interaction point. And y is the same thing, it is a fermionic momentum, and that is renormalized at the interaction point. And I would like to tell you what S and S tilde V are here. I introduce a function S tilde and V. I introduce a function S tilde and V. So here I would like to tell you their detail form. And their detail form is very complicated. You don't really want to look at this. But S and S tilde is given by some complicated function. And here we just introduce gamma and U and T as some combination of gamma matrices. And everything is very complicated. You don't have to remember any of this. The only thing you want to know is here the gamma function is, they take the Majorana wild representation. So here it is zero in the diagonal part, and only octagonal part exists. and one is transposed to the other one, and totally they satisfy the Clifford algebra. And here eta is something that square root I, square root I. And this is the only thing you have to remember, because we can rewrite this complicated form of SSTLV into very simple form. So first of all, as I told you, originally we have the we have this gamma I, and the subscript is A and A dot. And since it is transposed to itself, so gamma I A dot is the same as gamma I A dot A. So they are basically the same thing. But using that, we can define gamma hat A. Gamma hat A. And here it is I A dot, and here is A dot I. The indices I is the 8, we are considered as SO8, so indices I is 8V, but A is 8S and A dot is 8C. So we use a triology to shift the gamma matrix into a new one and shift from the gamma into gamma hat A. So everything here, so we can define gamma hat A here. And again, this guy satisfies the Clifford algebra. And now we define y slash as square root 2 and y. Eta star is just some combination I told you, and it is square root I. So you don't have to care so much about this part. And here, we have YA and gamma hat A. So Y slash can have can have indices like I A dot or A dot I. It can have both types. And here V S tilde is given simply that hyperbolic cosine of this variable. And since it is even function. The hyperbolic cosine is an even function. So the indices is act in the same space. So here it is ij, and hyperbolic sine, it is an odd function. So here indices is, it connects between 8i and 8c. Oh, sorry, 8i and 8c, yes. And here it is the same thing. So far, I show you a very complicated formula, but we can always put it into this formula. And you might say, oh, it's good to write it down simple, but what can we do with this simple form? And one thing is that if you really want to prove the supersymmetric algebra in the Green-Schwarz superstring theory, you have to deal very complicated formula. So basically, supersymmetry at first order is this form. You just expand the previous formula for the total charge into the first order, and by this formula, I mean this formula. So H1 is the three string state, and Q1 is the three string state. But here Q0, it is just the three part, and it's mapped one string to the other, and sum from 1 to 3. And this is the form it has. And to prove this supersymmetry algebra, since Q and H is written like function S and V. So all we have to do is to know how these three supercharge act on this Q1 and H1. And it turns out there's a operator DA, which is defined by Y differential and multiplication of Y. And here to prove this formula, all we have to do is to prove this formula. And this formula can easily be proved by this one. But the proof of this final formula is very complicated. There are a big appendix in the Greenshaw's paper to prove this formula. And there are many, you have to deal with many field identity between gamma matrix. And it is, for my friends, it is fun, but actually, I think for most of people, it is a torture. But here, if we have this simple form, we can. So here, S is hyperbolic sine, V is hyperbolic cosine. So it is this form, and this form can be easily proved by assuming the prefold algebra. We can easily prove this formula, and this formula follows direct from here. So this is not just look simple. This rewriting doesn't make it just look simple. It also very practical. You can prove the supersymmetry algebra just using this hyperbolic sine and hyperbolic cosine. So far it is the Dicom string field theory section. And is there any question so far? I hope it is not too too torture for you. I try to make it as simple as possible. And if there's any question, I can. Okay.
Was there any way to guess that this structure should show up like this sign, this hyperbolic cosine, and this hyperbolic sine from? I mean, before doing the calculation.
Okay, you are asking how we find the formula.
Yes.
Okay.
Because it's quite amazing that this whole thing just becomes just an identity between two things.
Yes. Later I will show you another formula, and this is written in the Greenshaw's paper, and they have this kind of formula. So this is V. And this is another V, and they have this kind of Fourier transformation. And okay, sorry, just forget this. Here we have since we have 7 Y here. We have 7 factorial here, and here we have 8 of them, and we have 8 factorial here. So, and 6 of them, we have 6 factorial here. So it might give you some feeling here. And other thing is that they also have Fourier transformation formula there. And there, if you transform, and this one is basically the same as this one. It's the same hyperbolic function. And if you Fourier transform one function into another function, and you find it takes the same form, you maybe expect that it's an exponential. Okay. Okay, so let us proceed to the matrix string theory. The basic conjecture is by Banks, Fisher, Shenkar, Sustan, and they conjecture that 0+1 dimensional super Yamir theory describes the Lycom quantization of M theory. And this is a conjecture for M theory, but if you want to get some information for the fundamental string, then all you have to do is, this is D particle, so you compactify one dimension and take the G duality, then it will become D string, and again you take the S duality there, then it becomes a fundamental string. So all you have to do is follow this process. Then here the compactification is realized in super Yamir The compactification realized in super Hermite is actually grade 1 dimension. So here what you get is 1 plus 1 dimensional super Hermite here describe the lifetime configuration of type 2B string theory. And if you follow the parameter here of the Hermite coupling, and you, since you take the S duality here, the Hermite coupling and the string coupling is different. One is downstairs and one is upstairs. So the conjecture is 1 plus 1 dimensional super Hermite describes Dicombe configuration type 2B with this parameter. And this is a conjecture, this is a conjecture for non-perturbative, all the non-perturbative type 2B string theory, but if we want to relate it to something we know, which is perturbative string, we have to match both of them. And since this super Hermite coupling relate to string coupling like inverse, so to describe the free string, we need to take the string coupling into zero. And on the other hand, that means we take the Hermite coupling to infinity, and that is IR limit. And here, we want to consider the next correction of the string coupling. Then what we want to see here is that we find this irrelevant operator here. So let us analyze the free string, or in other words, IR limits of the metric string theory here. The free string, the action, the interaction term of the action is xx commutator square. So if you take the string coupling to zero, then the last term gives you the main contribution. So we want to minimize the last term, and so if we take GS to string coupling to zero, then everything should commutate. So that means all the XI can be simultaneously diagonalizable. And if we diagonalize everything, then everything will become just eigenvalue. And since we have sigma here, then so everything is the just a connection of eigenvalues from sigma equal to zero to sigma equal to two pi. And here, everything should connect it smoothly, but at the end point, this one doesn't necessarily consume the other one, and that can be a shift there. So finally, we found that here it is, if we start at this point, then it goes here and here, it is 2 pi, so it is identified, so it comes to here, so it is 3 string bits connected, and here it is 2 string bits connected. And if we plug in this diagonal form into the action again, what we found is this form, and this is exactly the Greenshot string we had before. So in this sense, at the tree level, the metric string theory and the Dicombe string field theory at the tree level, they are identical, and both of them are all the Greenshot string. And to go to next, let us go to the first order interaction. And to go to first order interaction, since string interact with each other. So basically, it is just the exchange operator, and we have several exchange operators like twist field. Like for bosonic X, we have twist field, and for fermionic field, we have spin fields. And so basically, we have sigma and some spin field. And here, sigma is the ground state spin field, but we can ask this operator here, and we find an excited spin field. Sorry, twist field. And for spin field, it is the same thing, and we have several of them. And so to find first order interaction is here. And since I told you Young-Mills coupling is related to square Young-Mills coupling, 1 over square Young-Mills coupling is G string square alpha prime. So there are always alpha prime appearing here. And here we have sigma is everywhere is good, so we have a sigma integral here. And so here it counts dimension minus one, dimension minus one, and Hamiltonian is dimension one. So here we should have dimension three operator. And so the question is, can we construct a dimension three operator which is Lorentz invariant, Lorentz scalar, and out of these exchange operators. And that graph Berlinde give us the answer, and the answer is here. They use the excited string, excited twist field, tau I here, and tau j bar here, and they use the spin field, sigma I here, and sigma bar j here. So this is the story for the matrix for the matrix string theory. So I have reviewed both Lipkin string field theory and matrix string theory here. The next thing I want to go on is I will discuss their relation and write down the supercharge in the matrix string theory here for you. And after that, I will discuss the OPE of both theory. So that will go to here, section four. And let me summarize all the formula I write down for you. And for the Lipkin string field theory, Hamiltonian and supercharge are written like this. And here, among others, here Zi, the definition of Zi is you use the momentum, holomorphic momentum, photonic momentum acting on this interaction vertex, and it is singular at the interaction point, and the rest is Zi, and this is the definition of Zi. This is the interpretation of Zi. And on the matrix string side, we have Hamiltonian, and we have alpha prime here, and the DVB write down the interaction for us. And we don't know the supercharge, they don't write down the supercharge explicitly here, but the definition of tau I is the excited twist field. So we have the basic twist field, and we act with holomorphic derivative of x, then we find this singular. And if we compare these two things, we found that if we so here P is P derivative and X prime is sigma derivative. So totally it's a holomorphic derivative. So if we identify this part with this part, and this V with this sigma, and this DIV with this tau I, and here they have the same singularity here, then we can guess what the supersymmetry charge here should be. And since for Q1 part we have Z bar, and for Q1 tilde we have Z, then we expect that tau I appear here and tau I bar appear here and tau I appear here. And this is the answer. This match the Lorentz structure and also match the dimension counting and also what else? Dimension counting, Lorentz invariance, and also all construct from the exchange operators. So the naive guess is these operators, and we can check the supersymmetric algebra at this order, and we can find it is true. And in the original paper of Diagraph Ferdinand, they also give some supersymmetric arguments. And what they write down seem very impressive, but actually, if you really look carefully at this, you don't understand something. And this is my motivation to write down this one. And they write down supercharge like this, and they write down this formula and claim that it is supersymmetry. And this calculation is consistent with this pioneer but primitive argument by Diagraph Ferdinand. Also, Diagraph Moto, they also propose some relation. They look at the algebraic structure of the both sides between SSQLV, the super Dicombe string field theory, and between these spin fields. And they found that this one should match with this, and everything is consistent. Yes?
First, when you talk about the twist field and also other spin field, those are fields in the 1 plus 1 dimensional symmetric fields.
Yes.
They are the fields, I mean, when you say them, they are really the fields in the symmetric field, right?
Yes.
Yeah, the object field, say,
they are basically the same thing. In the So in matrix string theory, here there are here 1 plus 1 super Young-Mean theory. And your question is whether we can identify this 1 plus 1 dimension as a worksheet.
Right, that's related.
Yes, and we know this theory describes the type 2B string theory, and the Young-Mean coupling is related to this one. And if you look at the free string analysis, then here if you plug in everything in the diagonal form, then it comes to this formula. So this tells you that original 1 plus 1 dimension is the string worksheet.
So there's like a local map from the 1 plus 1
Yes.
And also, I have a local question. When you talk about the supercharges and the local activity, they are the space time supercharges.
Yes.
Okay. So when you really write it in terms of as an integral over the worksheet with some fields as the integrand, that seems to be, I mean, so those supercharges are really defined for, it's not an integrated version over the whole space line, or not integrated over the whole space. So should I think about it more like a current for the supersymmetric transformation? For the space-time supersymmetric transformation, or it is really the charge of space-time string field theory?
I don't quite understand the difference.
So what I'm saying is that I thought the cubes and pages you are developing is for the string field theory, and not for the theory being on a single string.
Yes.
So I would thought the total charge should be an equation over the whole space to give you the total charge of the string field theory. But you are not really integrating over the whole space. So I assume it actually is a current.
So it is basically the one string state. So for the for the H1, Q0, Q0 tilde, it is for one string state. So basically the whole qubit space is multiple string states, and you only act on one of them, and the other side is identical. And you only add one of them, and you sum over the, and you exchange the operation into other string, other Hilbert space, and you sum over them, and that means the total free energy, free supercharge. Yeah. Okay, so I don't have much time, but let me give you the final part, and that is OPEs. And I would like to first start with the photonic case. And in photonic dipole SFP, we have the dipole Hamiltonian is just written as the vertex, interaction vertex. And we don't have the bosonic matrix string theory, but we can assume the Hamiltonian in this way if we write it down in this way. And the reason is that this operator, since Clebsch has the dimension 1/16, 1/16, then it is totally 1/8. And multiply 24 dimensions, so it is again dimension 3 operator, and it is Lorentz scalar, and it is written down as a twist field. So I think this assumption is not bad. Although we don't have the matrix formulation for this theory, we just assume the photonic matrix string theory like this, and then this twist field has these OPEs. And aside from the dimension counting, we also, if we really look at the photonic twist field, and we also have to take care of the zero mode part, and the zero mode part gives you the log dependence here. So totally, it has some parts that account for the dimension analysis, and the other part account for the zero mode part. So this is the total OPE. So the question is whether we can realize these OPEs by using this one. And this interaction vertex can split one string into two strings, or join two strings into one string. So basically, we can construct the tree diagram by first one join them, and the second one combine them, or we can split first and join later by consider one loop diagram. So there, for one OPE, there are always two realizations. One is by tree diagram, and the other is by one loop diagram. And you can so for this tree diagram, the amplitude, the effective amplitude, the effective vertex is written down like this. So you have two vertexes hit each other, but you have propagator T in between. And here I put the reflector here, and reflector is just exchange the plus state with cat state. So here, what we have to calculate is this vertex. is this expression, and here for one loop one, we need two reflectors for this 1,4 and 2,5, and then we hit two interaction vertex again. And the result is that, as expected from the OPEs, we obtain this result for the small t limit. For the small t limit, everything is just the identity here, and we have some divergent coefficient here. And if you really know how to compute the amplitude using Dipkohn string field theory, usually what you do is you put a reflector here, and you put two vertices here, and there's a you put propagator here, and there's a level matching projection here, and you integrate over t, and you also integrate for the string length. And this is the usual expression for the amplitude. So you might ask, if here the twist field should correspond to just vertex or vertex with level matching projection. And the answer is this side. And I will tell you why. The vertex one is the correct answer. And the reason is that here for the twist field, when you consider OPE twist field, you usually just fix the indices. There are n ends which denotes the string bits, but you don't sum over them. You just pick up one of them and you consider the OPE. Here, if you put in the level matching condition, and level matching condition can be written like this. And this expression gives you, the meaning of this expression is that when two strings are in between, then you put in the level matching condition, meaning you shift one of them, and which means the interaction can happen anywhere in the string bit. So in that sense, we do the summation over these indices here, if we put the projection operator here. So it should be this one that corresponds to this one. And I have some sample calculation, but since I don't have time, so let me skip this one and tell you about the super version of this correspondence. And for the super version, we have, as I told you, we have three factors. So there are various OPEs there. And the OPE I want to realize is that there are various OPEs, but let me pick up this one here to tell you how to realize it. And we also just consider the three diagrams here. So what we want to compute is this one. And again, I cannot tell you the detail since I'm running out of time. But first of all, so there are several steps, and I just tell you following the step how we compute that one, this amplitude. So first we use the Fourier transformation to make this one into this form. Originally, you should expect that this, if you introduce this one, if you introduce this part, you have to introduce the source for them, and you take the derivative for them, and the computation is very horrible. But fortunately, we have the Fourier transformation, so we can only deal with this part and do the phi integration later. And here, if we introduce this one, we have another formula here, and then for the squeeze state, and Fermionic squeeze set. For the Fermionic squeeze set, we have this formula. So after the computation, what we found is we found this expression. And the surprise here is that in the formula, if we introduce k, some linear term in K and L, which corresponds to you introduce linear terms in phi. Usually what you get is the quadratic term here. But the surprise here is that we just get the linear term here. And the reason is that in the string field theory, we had two types of fermions. And we consider the fermionic coordinate and fermionic momentum, and although we have cosine and sine modes, and correspond to that degree of freedom, we have two types of fermions. And using that expression, we have fermion type 1 and fermion type 2. And this reflector and vertex is the one which connects those two types. But here, Y is just one type. So it cannot be connected to each other. So the surprise happens here. It comes back as a linear term. So this means that when we finally we want to multiply this part and take the phi integration, but since it's a linear term, so it is very easy. It just comes back to this form. So this is the result. This is the final result. And I don't tell you the very detail, but the original y changes to something totally y. And I don't tell you the detail, but and here f is some quadratic term. And if you take the short time limit, then it has this relation. So finally, we use the fifth identity to look at the most singular term, and we pick up the most singular term here, and our final result is this one. And this is exactly the OPE we want to realize. This OPE corresponds exactly to this calculation corresponds to this OPE. This structure is the same as this one. So this is all I want to tell you. So for the Lycon, I read that I matched Lycon SFP with matrix string theory, and in particular I use the interaction vertex in Lycon SFT to realize the OPEs in matrix string theory. And most of all, we simplify the Lycon string field theory by a lot. So yeah, I just write here of people by people for people. And this is, of course, the famous Dinkers work. And further direction, since we have simplified it a lot, we expect there are many directions from now on, and one of them is to go to higher order, and the other one is in the previous stage, there's many computation about the PTV-Lycon string field theory, and there's a lot of confusion there, so we want to come back to that question by our more simple formulation. So this is all I wanted to say, and I'm sorry for the time delay, and thank you very much.
I believe that for metric string theory, it was never understood if there was a metric string theory that would encode the open string, like the front space of open string and direction of open string. So now that you have some dictionary between closed Lycon string theory and metric string theory, can you use that to try to construct the analog of DBV for open string?
Still, we don't have any. What I do is I related matrix string theory to the closed Lycon string field theory, and still there's So I can map your question that whether we can realize open string in the matrix string theory into whether we can realize open string in the closed Dichotomous string field theory. But this is another big question, and yeah, I think so far we don't have many clue for this sense. And recently people find out the exact solution for the bosonic Wittgen type string field theory, and that's only for the bosonic, and that's for the open string field theory. So the situation is much different, and I think the best we can do so far is at first I told you there's a paper by my collaborator with his company, and the reason they calculate this diagram is they have some idea, and that idea is that they want to use the since in the vacuum string field theory, the solution, the equation of motion is string field phi star multiplied with itself itself again. So they use this closed string field theory, and they make this statement. They use boundary state, which represents open string degree of freedom in terms of closed string. And they use boundary state, and they use Dichotomous string field theory multiplied by itself, and they find the result is still boundary state. So yeah, I think this is the best statement we have so far. So my answer to you, your question is at present the situation is negative. We don't have much clue to find open string in the closed string field theory so far.
Any more questions? Okay, then let's thank the speaker again.
Thank you very much.